Now this text is from Ephesians chapter 5. He's beginning to exhort the Ephesians to live a thoroughly Christian life. He actually started this earlier in 4:17 when he says, don't walk as the pagans walk, the empty futility of their mind. That's the first thing he says. Airhead. You know, duh. I can tell you all the latest films, all the latest TV shows, but I can't tell you what the gospel says. As airhead. See, don't walk in the empty futility of their minds, with their understanding darkened, and so forth. We had the text recently. So, he says here, watch carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Redeeming the time, that is, making the most of this time, you see? Exagoromini, ton keron. Why? Because the days are evil. These are tough times. Now, we agree with them. You know, where's the stock market going? Where's the world going? Where's Iraq? Where's Iran? Where's Israel? Where's the U.S.? Where are they going? You see? Watch how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Because the days are evil. Tough times. It is so much easier to sin in a world which has suppressed the truth, which is the way Paul describes what happened there in Romans when he starts talking about the wrath of God has been manifest, has been revealed on those who in their hardness of heart have suppressed the truth. Okay. Therefore, do not be senseless, but rather understand what is the will of the Lord. You see how Paul talks? Use your head. Look out of the window and see what's going on and then reflect on it. And do not get drunk with wine, that is dissolute. Rather, be filled with the Spirit. And now, he's going to talk about four qualities of being filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another with spiritual psalms, singing and praising with your heart, giving thanks, and then finally, subordinating yourselves to one another in the fear of Christ. Now this last one then gets mixed up, because the next line is, wives, subordinate yourselves to your husbands. Look, wives, nobody can make you subordinate. It's not some sort of intrinsic inferiority. It's you reflect the church and build up your husband, who's supposed to reflect Christ, which is a much tougher job. You see? And so, your strong, manly support, you see? And that's what that's so, you see? As we're going to see when we get there. But I'm adding that line because the text ends at verse 20 in our, you see? But it doesn't. It goes right on because these are the ways, they're all what they call participles, and I translated them that way. Singing and praising was an early word. Addressing one another, singing and praising, giving thanks, and subordinating yourselves. Now, as an instance of subordinating yourselves to one another in the fear of Christ, I'm going to take the family. As an instance of subordinating yourself, because if the husband does not serve his wife and lay down his life for her, it's not a marriage. It's that simple. And when a man understands that, you know, well, I'm not allowed to talk much about that, actually, in a way, because it's not in the text for this Sunday. It's the next line. But I wanted to point out at least that much to you. See, so watch carefully how you walk. What does that mean? It means reflect. One of the ways you reflect, get some prayer time in the morning, and after you've praised the Lord and reflected on your past day in the light of the Holy Spirit, repented for your sins, and interceded, then you think of the day to come. And you think of the day to come with the Holy Spirit. Well, what have I got to do? I got this appointment. I got to go shopping, whatever. I got to play bridge, whatever. You got to do whatever. Okay. Think all that over. So when you're involved in it, the Holy Spirit is moving you so that it brings life to you and to everybody you're with. I can't tell you how sometimes these casual encounters have changed lives. In the grocery store, you know? Just a casual remark starts the other person thinking, and pretty soon they go and talk to somebody and give their lives to the Lord. You see? Redeem the time. Don't waste it. You see? So in the morning, you see, before you've got the time, it hasn't arrived yet, if you will, think of what you're going to do. What is this day going to look like? Now, as you do that, this is what the Holy Spirit will do for you. You've already examined your conscience, and the Holy Spirit has shown you where you sinned. Why? To free you from it. He's not a taskmaster. Oh, look what you did. He wants to free us from our sins. Now you think of what's going to happen. And then the Holy Spirit says, now, whenever you're in that situation, you're jealous, so watch it. When you're in that situation, you tend to exaggerate your own greatness. Watch it, you know? And in that situation, emotionally, you can't stand that other person, and so fight it. That's wrong. You got to stand everybody. Jesus does. So then when you get in those situations, the Holy Spirit can say, remember what I told you this morning. It's a huge help. It's a huge help. You can write it out. You know, I just resolved that when I got to talk to Joe today, I'm going to be civil, you know, and I'm not going to be trying to lord it over him because I'm smarter than he is, or at least I think I am, or whatever. Or I just can't stand so-and-so. Can't stand so-and-so is an emotional problem. It's got nothing to do with objectivity. Christ died for that person. That's how much he can stand. And so, you see, this is what it means by not being unwise. Look to what you're going to be living that day as far as you can, and let the Holy Spirit warn you. You know, you're going to be at this business meeting and the boss is going to be showing off and it drives you nuts. Keep your calm. Pray for the guy. You know, he doesn't know me. And so what has he got? He's got a multi-million dollar company. Bravo. He dies. What happens to it? What happens to him? If he dies without ever knowing me, I could surprise him at his deathbed. But the life looks so empty. All he's got for a life of exertion is money. And he can't take that with him. You know, it was a very wealthy guy. The Orientals have the very picturesque way of doing and saying things. He was a Palestinian, very wealthy man up in Haifa. And he was dying. And his sons were all around him. And he said, now when I die and you bury me, I want my hands to be out of the coffin. I want everybody to see I didn't take it with me. He's dying. And one of the guys first heard this, right? He should have put his feet out too. And he was really, really stingy. But you see how they're real. You see, I'm going to die. I'm not going to take any of them, my big house, all the stuff I got. I'm not going to take any of it with me. So in a way, I wasted my life. If I'd have made that money and cared for other people, they'd all be ready to surround me with prayer. I'd coast into heaven. Instead of that, they're glad to get rid of me. They'll pray for me. But in other words, use your time and your money intelligently. That's what Paul is saying here, you see. Don't be senseless, but rather understand what is the will of God. Well, how do you find out the will of God? You ask Him. And if it's a serious matter, you can take counsel with somebody who's spiritual, prayerful, and objective. As Aristotle said, you don't have to ask a thief about honesty or a drunkard about sobriety, because they don't know. You ask somebody whose life is in order what he or she thinks about this. Take advice, you see? And then, don't get drunk with wine. I mean, first place, you look foolish. You're high for a little while, and then you wake up in the morning, you're sick and got a headache. I mean, You want to be drunk? Be drunk with the Holy Spirit. It's such an exaltation. It's such happiness. It's such, you know. So, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now he's going to describe some of the symptoms of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of these symptoms of the Holy Spirit. First one, addressing one another in songs, spiritual songs, literally, spiritual hymns and songs. Psalmis, ke imnis, ke odes, pneumatikes. So spiritual, where is it? Spiritual psalms and hymns and songs. That all you do is sing? No. But you see, somebody who's happy sings. Isn't that true? If you're in the car and you're really happy, you start singing. Well, share that. Sing with others. So the first thing he says is, because I've told you this story before, but it does fit right here. Joy is the first sign of the Holy Spirit. There was a very famous spiritual director. I've told you this story before. He was an Irish Franciscan, known for being a great, insightful spiritual director. And there was a woman who was known to be very holy. Actually, she was in a wheelchair. So some of the parish pastor, I don't know who it was, who said, asked this man, would you go talk to her? Is this for real? Is she really holy? And so he went and talked with her for about a half hour. He came out. Well, what do you think? He said, that's genuine. Such joy can only come from the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, such doctrine is correct. She really does great penances, you know. No, he said, such joy can only come from the Holy Spirit. That's the sign of the Holy Spirit. That's why he says, don't get drunk. It makes you sick, it costs money, and you're not very happy anyway. Invite the Holy Spirit into your life and let him give you real joy. So address one another with songs. Singing and praising with your heart to the Lord. Wow! That's the sign of a Christian. To sing and praise God. That's countercultural. Of course it is. How can you praise God if you don't know Him? Well, they sing and shout and raise their hands. So do you at a football game. Not because of any spiritual joy, but because your team scored or whatever. Giving thanks. Ah, now we're getting into it. Evkaristuntes. Giving thanks. The sign of a growth in spirituality is gratitude. And so, always in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to our God and Father. Now, the fourth of these is subordinating yourselves to one another in the fear of Christ. Hypotasomini. That comes from hypotasis, hypotasin, hypotasiste, in the middle voice. You do it to yourself. Not be subordinate under my thumb. Whether you're talking about husband, wife, or bishop, priest, or anything. Subordinating yourselves. Everybody. Pope to pauper. Bishop to priest. Husband to wife. Wife to husband. Now, how did they subordinate? Tune in and find out. We can't do that because that's not part of our text. But see, wives to your husbands as to the Lord. And husbands, lay down your lives for your wife. You have to be Christ in your family. How did Christ care for his whole family? He died for it. So I remember giving a group of men about this, you know. We went through the stuff about the women. He said, Jesus really tough on the women. I said, you idiots, wait till you hear what you got to do. You have to lay down your life. Only 25% of that text is addressed to the women. The other 75% is addressed to the men.